This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Jonathan Watkins. Jonathan is the Regional President of Hospitals and Clinics for Cancer Treatment Centers of America, a remarkable career that he's having. Jonathan, thrilled to have you with us. Can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Sure. First off, thank you, Scott. Really appreciate the opportunity to join you and speak with you this morning. Again, Jonathan Watkins, Regional President of Hospitals and Clinics for Cancer Treatment Centers of America and CEO at our Atlanta facility, which is housed in Noonan, Georgia. Amazing, amazing organization and institution that is dedicated to not only the treatment of cancer, but with a research arm that's working aggressively to eradicate this horrific and unfortunate disease that too many Americans are stricken with each day.
And Jonathan, talk about the facility, your role. Take a moment on, let me start with a couple things that you're most proud of with respect to the facility that you run and the reason that you run. A couple things that you look at with particular points of pride.
Yeah, no, thank you so much. So the facility is by far the most beautiful hospital I've ever been in. We boast a patient satisfaction rating that's amongst the top 10% of hospitals in the nation. And again, with healthcare being first and foremost about the patient, it's one of the areas that we truly, truly try to make sure we are hearkening back to each moment that we interact with our patients and our stakeholders. Our stakeholders are what most organizations will probably refer to as employees or associates. But we refer to them as stakeholders because each and every one has a personal stake in the families and the patients that we treat. Again, an amazing organization, great history, great tradition with people dedicated to fighting cancer. Again, I couldn't be happier or prouder of the team members that I get to work with each and every day.
Fantastic. And talk a little bit about the current role and the top priorities in that role. And you've hit very well just the critical nature of how much effort is focused on great patient experience and taking care of patients and their families. Talk to us a little bit about your top three priorities now as we move forward into this next year.
Yeah, Scott. So during these very challenging times with COVID, our top three priorities are first and foremost ensuring that our active patient population continues to receive the care and fully execute the treatment plans developed by their care teams. With traveling being discouraged and requests being made for individuals to stay home, we've really worked to communicate to our patients that not treating their disease isn't an option right now, which leads to priority number two, which is ensuring that the public continues to receive their cancer screenings. I was reading an article on cancerhealth.com that referenced an analysis that was performed by Epic. It found that screenings for breast, cervical, and colon cancer dropped nearly 90% after the declaration of COVID-19. The national emergency really hit then. We know that cancer didn't go away with COVID, and we strongly believe that there's a shadow curve with significant rise in undiagnosed cancers that we'll be fighting pretty soon. So our message to all is that cancer won't wait on COVID, so neither should you. We want everybody to get out, get their checkups, get their screenings. My third priority centers around our employees, or again, as I said, our stakeholders, as we call them at CTCA. With the current state of race relations, we remain focused and steadfast on our approach to patient care that places humanity and love for all at the core of what we do.
So fantastic. Really to make sure on three levels, current cancer treatments get treated and are getting treated, and there's been so much sort of disruption in that. Second is cancer screenings get back to the level they need to be at. I mean, your stat on 90% of screenings are down 90%. Means, right, those people still have cancer that would have been screened, or at least a percentage of them would have cancer, but they just weren't detected, and the later detection leads to worse results. And third is taking care of your team, your stakeholders, in a million different ways on every single level. Talk a little bit about the screenings and the treatments. There was great disruption. Obviously, treatment's not as disrupted as the screenings, but even treatments were disrupted. How are things ramping back up? Are things closer to normal again in terms of screenings and treatments?
Unfortunately not, Scott. We have not seen screenings bump back up to the levels in which we'd like. Our treatments are on the rise. We are seeing patients return to the facility and continue their plans of care. But yes, the screening programs have not picked up. We are pushing and promoting ours locally in our facilities and sites and encouraging people to come in as best as we can. But we really want to make sure we're getting the word out. We've been publicly on any broadcast, any news outlet, any opportunity we get, we're making sure we promote that as best we can.
Well, fantastic.
So I appreciate you giving me this opportunity to do so as well.
Well, no, it's so important. It's such a pleasure. Take a moment, Jonathan. Talk about your career journey. You've got this huge role now, regional president of one of the great companies in America in terms of healthcare and in terms of oncology treatment. You also run a particular facility for them. I mean, a great career. Talk a little about your career journey and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, happy to do so. I've been extremely blessed and fortunate in my career. I started in the healthcare industry as a project manager with Methodist Labanor Healthcare in Memphis, Tennessee. There I had the opportunity to work with an amazing group of people and connected with arguably one of the best leaders in the industry, Dr. Michael Ugwecki, who became a mentor, sponsor, and trusted advisor. After successfully leading a number of projects with that system, I was given an opportunity to transition into one of their hospitals as an assistant administrator with oversight and responsibility for the support services division in the facility. After about 2 years in that role, I was promoted to the chief operating officer position. Again, was really enjoying my tenure and time there, but got another call to serve as the chief operating officer for Kaiser Permanente's Central Valley Service Area in Northern California. It was an opportunity that I wouldn't have imagined in my wildest dreams getting, particularly given the phase and stage of my career. So I jumped at it and accepted. And what made that role even more attractive was knowing that another mentor and advisor that I had, Mr. Corwin Harper, had worked in the facility in the past and spoke very highly of the organization. Roughly 2 years into that stint, I was contacted by the system chief operating officer at Broward Health in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, with an opportunity to lead their Broward Health Imperial Point Hospital as the CEO there. About 2 years into that stint, I got a call from a good friend, Mr. Jossie Chisley, whom I'd worked with at Methodist Healthcare. In fact, he was the CEO at Methodist North, where I was a COO. And he'd moved on in his career and was serving as the national president of hospitals and clinics with Cancer Treatment Centers of America. He reached out to me, asked me if I was interested in considering an opportunity with them. And the moment I walked into the facility, I was sold. Not only was it, again, as I mentioned, the most beautiful hospital that I'd ever been in, but you could truly feel the love, the compassion, and the commitment to serving a very complex patient population when you walked in the facility. So, I jumped at that opportunity, and that's where I am now, Scott.
Jonathan, fantastic. And talk about, so Michael Ugwecki is a mutual close friend of both of ours. Take a moment and talk about how important it is as a young leader to have somebody take an interest in your career and mentor and sponsor you and try and sort of like just at least take a little bit of interest and a little bit of looking out for somebody when they see great talent to try and see that talent have chances to thrive. Talk for a moment about how important that is in all cultures.
Yeah, it's invaluable, again, to both my personal and professional development. As you heard me mention, each of the career opportunities and roles and jobs that I had didn't come from me going online and Googling and looking at the opportunity. It was a phone call I received through a relationship, a mentor, again, a sponsor, someone that was truly, truly taking an interest in my career and wanted to see me successful. And again, Dr. Ugwecki was one of those people. And to this day, I give him tremendous credit for where I am professionally in my career.
Thank you. And take a moment on this. You're having this great career, and it, as you said, couldn't believe that you ended up having this role or then now president of this situation, and really remarkable. And you, every bit of it's been earned the old-fashioned way through hard work and great drive and effort. Take a moment on what advice you would have for others in terms of career advice. What advice would you give to emerging leaders, people trying to develop great careers?
Yeah, great question. One of my mentors early in my career shared with me, I think, a great piece of advice that I still live and hold on to today. He would say there are five rules to becoming successful and happy in your professional life. Rule number one is always deliver on your deliverables. Rule number two is to never take yourself too seriously. Titles, acknowledgments, and accolades can quickly fade, so you never want to get too wrapped up in them. And rule number three was always be honest and operate with integrity. He said if you do one, two, and three, you don't have to worry about four and five. And I found that as long as I've been doing each of those things, everything has truly come together in my career. So there are a number of people that will be there to tell you what books to read and, you know, what conferences to go to. But if you're doing one, two, and three of those, the rest will take care of itself.
Well, let's not underrate the importance of conferences. No, I'm just kidding, Jonathan. Tell us again. Give us those three rules again, just so people can – you're taking notes. I started to take notes, and then I slowed down. But tell me those three rules again so people can get those.
Definitely. Rule number one, always deliver on your deliverables. Rule number two, never take yourself too seriously. As I said, those titles, the acknowledgments, and the accolades can quickly fade, so you never want to get wrapped up in them. And then rule number three, always be honest and operate with integrity.
Fantastic. Thank you very, very much. And this has been a challenging year in the country in terms of COVID-19, in terms of race relations, in terms of a whole number of issues. I'll ask you the following question, Jonathan. Are you optimistic about the future? Do you look at the world with optimism, half full, it's going to be okay, it's going to get better, or are you pessimistic?
Oh, extremely optimistic. I'm 100% confident that it's going to be better. Again, like I said, the spirit of humanity is huge and big, and the way people are leaning in, coming together right now, I'm extremely optimistic about what's to come.
Well, thank you, Jonathan. Jonathan Watkins, I want to thank you for joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast today. What a great pleasure to get a chance to visit with you today. Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. The pleasure was truly all mine, Scott. Thank you so much.